Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Andrea and Ron DeFeo, Dr. Robert Peskin, and Dr. Raymond Ellis. Geothermal energy takes advantage of the very hot magma deep in the earth to provide power and heat. The Geysers, which is a geothermal field in Northern California about 90 miles northwest of Sacramento, is the world's largest producer of geothermal electric energy, using steam from a large number of wells to provide electric power to several nearby counties. Here to talk with us about this large energy production project is California Energy Commissioner Karen Douglas. Karen is an attorney. She's one of five members of the commission to which she was first appointed in 2008. Thanks for talking with us this morning, Karen.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
So first, let's start with the California Energy Commission. What is it? What is its role? And how is it connected to the geysers?
So the California Energy Commission is California's lead energy policy and planning agency. And we have five commissioners. They're appointed by the governor and confirmed by the state senate. Our role is broad. We do energy forecasting. We run research, development, and deployment projects for clean energy research and transportation, among other things. We have energy efficiency programs. And in terms of the geysers, we permitted a number of the geothermal plants in the geysers. And so we have an ongoing role with many of the plants in the geysers.
But apparently not all?
Right. And that's just a technicality of the way our permitting rules work. We permit plants that are thermal and 50 megawatts and over.
So different technology or a smaller plant would be out of your purview?
Correct.
Okay. What does that permitting function mean in terms of short-term oversight of what's going on?
Well, if a plant has been permitted by the California Energy Commission, then we have an ongoing compliance role, and we continue to work with the plants through their operating life on meeting environmental conditions and safety conditions. And so, for example, after the fires that affected a number of the plants in the geysers, we worked with plants that we permitted that were affected and had their cooling towers, in some cases, burn, to demolish the towers and to work with them on rebuilding those towers with more fire retardant and resistant materials.
And the geysers themselves, or itself, that's a private enterprise?
The geysers is a term for a resource area north of San Francisco that has a number of power plants in it. And when you add up the net generating capacity of those plants, it adds up to the largest geothermal area operating in the country. It produces 725 megawatts of electricity and has been producing electricity since the 1960s. To give you a sense of the geographic location, it's located in Sonoma and Lake counties, and it provides power to Sonoma, Mendocino, Lake, Marin, and Napa counties, so a number of counties. The area itself covers more than 45 square miles, and there are several companies that operate plants in that area. Calpine owns and operates 13 plants, Bottle Rock Power operates one, and NCPA is another entity that operates two plants there.
In a sense, they're all tapping into this natural resource independently.
That's correct. They are all tapping into the same geothermal resource, and they actually work with the counties to ensure that they are tapping into that resource in a sustainable way so that they maintain the productivity of that geothermal field.
Is there a kind of competition among them in terms of accessing the resource?
There is an interaction between them, or can be, in terms of the resource. And there was an issue in the past where Sonoma County in particular stepped in and found a way to ensure that the water levels in that area were able to remain steady and stable so that the geothermal plants could all operate at the capacity that they were able to.
Sounds to me like one of the issues associated with sharing this natural resource is having some kind of public oversight to make sure there's a fair and sustainable use.
That is important with geothermal fields. Geothermal power is absolutely renewable, and it is a resource that can operate for decades and beyond in a very sustainable way. but it does need to be managed with an eye towards maintaining that sustainability over time.
And does the California Energy Commission play a role in that kind of balancing act?
We can. In the specific case of the geysers, the California Energy Commission has jurisdiction over 6 of the plants in the geysers. So it is less than half of the overall number of operating plants in that field. However, that does give us an important role working with local governments and working with the plant operators.
Let me take you back to how this whole system works. Can you give us a quick overview of how we take advantage of this natural heat source?
Yeah, absolutely. California actually has a pretty substantial amount of geothermal resources, both low and high temperature resources. And there are a number of different uses for these. Geothermal plants take advantage of the higher temperature geothermal resources, and they basically use heat from the ground to generate power in a very baseload or 24/7 way. So one characteristic of geothermal energy is that the plants cannot really easily be cycled up and down. It works very differently than, say, a natural gas plant. What geothermal plants do is they will extract heat from the earth at a constant rate, and they will use it to generate electricity at a constant rate. And that's one of the real benefits of that technology, and it's also one of the challenges of that technology now that we in California have moved into a system where we are producing so much electricity from more intermittent resources that having more flexibility in our generating portfolio is very important.
So when you talk about more flexible sources, I presume you're talking about sources like wind and solar.
When I talk about more intermittent resources, I'm talking about resources like wind and solar. And by intermittent, what we mean is that production from the solar or wind plants that we build varies depending on the time of day, time of year, and the actual weather. So you could have a very productive solar facility at noon, and if it happens to be a very cloudy day, you'll get less electricity from it, for example. So as California moves towards our higher renewable energy goals, we are relying more and more heavily on intermittent resources. And that presents new challenges for geothermal plants because they are fundamentally what we call a baseload resource. They produce generally a steady state of energy 24/7 every day of the year. That's the best way or the easiest way to manage geothermal plants. The Energy Commission has done some research with projects in the geysers to look for ways to manage geothermal plants and provide a little bit more flexibility, and we're interested in continuing to do that because that's one way of getting even more benefit from our geothermal resource.
You'd like to be able to modulate the power output of this natural resource if you could do it.
That's correct. If we could reduce the output in the middle of the day when we get the most solar and increase it in the evening when we need the power, we would make great use of this resource. And really, some facilities are actually exploring the inclusion of energy storage right at the plant to help mitigate potential overgeneration during times of peak solar generation, and to be able to take advantage of the increased need for their power in the evening hours.
Yeah, so you could think about something like pumped storage or even batteries for storage.
You know, there's a wide range of storage technologies that can and certainly will have a role to play here.
So I want to take you back for a moment to the technology itself. So as I understand it, water is really the working fluid. We're heating water, turning it to steam, and the steam at that point is running steam turbines, which look very much like a conventional electric power generation plant. And so talking about sustainability, it strikes me that the limiting factor in the intermediate run, at least, is water.
In fact, that is the issue that had to be solved for the geysers, where Sonoma County and other local governments stepped in and worked with the Energy Commission and worked with project operators to ensure that the resource at the geysers could continue on, and that involved ensuring that the water use was sustainable.
I would assume that when the production started in the 1990s, that they were using natural groundwater as a resource. But right now, my understanding is that they have the capability to recycle some of the working fluid by condensing the steam, but there's a loss. And so how is that made up?
Sonoma County and others are actually providing makeup water in order to keep the production sustainable.
Okay. That's an interesting possibility, though, that you could really create something closer to a closed cycle if you could take advantage of wastewater in that process.
That's right.
That makes it particularly interesting. Long term, do you see this as a comfortably sustainable resource?
Absolutely. Long term, the geothermal resource at the geysers, and in addition to that, California has a very important geothermal resource in Imperial County at the Salton Sea. We have additional geothermal resources in other parts of the state. This is absolutely a long-term sustainable resource.
The Salton Sea opportunity, that's in the south, if I understand correctly.
The Salton Sea opportunity is in the far south, southeast of the state in Imperial County. And it's particularly interesting because the geothermal area is located at the south end of the Salton Sea. And there is a lot of interest in actually using geothermal plants, which extract brine as part of the process of producing power, to also process that brine. And in particular, there is a reasonable amount of lithium in the brine that could be extracted from the brine before it's returned to the resource. And so there is an active effort right now to look at and explore the feasibility of extracting lithium and potentially other minerals from geothermal brine in the Salton Sea resource area.
Multiple use of a single resource, yes.
Absolutely. And it would be very beneficial to geothermal plants in terms of helping them be more cost competitive with solar and wind, because right now geothermal is more expensive than solar and wind power. And it would also, of course, assist in supplying lithium for batteries needed for electricity storage and for electric vehicles and more.
Yes. If the sites in the south in California, are they currently being used to generate electricity?
Yes, we have a number of existing geothermal power plants in the Salton Sea area, and there's definitely potential for more. And really, some of the main constraints for developing more geothermal in that part of the state have been market constraints. It's been the challenge of finding ways to bring that power to market when, right now, it has not been cost competitive with other renewable energy resources.
I'm curious about that because it would seem to me that while you have a large capital cost associated with starting off a geothermal generation system, that long-term I would think the operating costs would be low.
Long-term, the operating costs of geothermal systems are relatively low. That's true also of solar and wind, of course. It's a generally true statement with regard to renewable energy production, regardless of the technology. The capital costs are fairly high. The resource is free. And then you have labor and you have operations and maintenance associated with running these plants that vary by technology. Geothermal is one of these tried and true technologies in our renewable energy portfolio here in California. California moved and developed geothermal very early. We've got some plants that have operated for decades. They've been completely reliable and dependable producers in our system, and I think they will continue to be. There's a lot of potential here. There's a lot of comfort with the technology. Right now, we are in a place where we are thinking through the role of geothermal in our system as we move towards ever higher renewable energy goals. And just to set some context for that, back not that many years ago, we were working towards a 20% renewable energy target by 2017, and that has increased multiple times since then. We're now working towards a 50% renewable energy target by 2026 and 60% by 2030. And as we move more and more renewable energy into our system, we have to keep evaluating how that system works and what is the role of these different technologies in that system. And I really think that geothermal energy is going to have an important role to play throughout this entire transition.
But as you describe these different sources of energy, it strikes me that balancing them, bringing those resources together and focusing on those very aggressive targets is a major responsibility of your commission, I would assume.
It is a major responsibility of our commission, working with the Public Utilities Commission and the California Independent System Operator and utilities, both public and investor-owned. It is really an important role for us all to work together on as we move forward. And the system today looks very different than it did 10 years ago, and it will look very different 10 years from now. And so we are really looking hard and watching that closely, because as the resource mix shifts, that changes the role of different resources in that mix, and it changes the importance of different resources in that mix. For example, in recent years, California has made great strides moving towards its renewable energy goals by bringing large amounts of solar into our system. We've gone from having a really low percentage of solar resources contributing to our renewable energy goals, even back in 2010, to having solar make up about 45% of the generation contributing to meeting our renewables portfolio standard. And so as that shift has taken place, as we've seen the system change, that changes other demands on the system. That's why we are increasingly thinking about storage, and we're thinking about complementary resources that can provide renewable energy at times when the solar resource is lower. And as we look at a resource like geothermal, which has largely held steady over the years, but where we do have potential for growth, we're focused on the question of how best to make use of this great resource in the system that we're building here.
Really important challenge in trying to balance that. I appreciate your describing what turns out to be a relatively complex energy supply system for the state of California. It looks to me like you're market leaders and policy leaders as well. So I wish you well in your work, and I look forward to monitoring what you do in the future. And I thank you for spending the time with us today.
Great. Well, thank you for inviting me. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for listening to The Infrastructure Show. If you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did, please encourage your friends to subscribe to our podcast. The Infrastructure Show is recorded in the Reeves Audio Recording Studios in Evanston, Illinois, under the direction of Jim Reeves, Chief Engineer, with a commitment to great sound. Our producer is Marion Sowers, a journalist with a passion for infrastructure. And I am Professor Joseph Schoffer. Few people are more curious about infrastructure than I.